everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bloodstained, a Giallo podcast and also an offshoot of the Vintage Horror podcast. I'm one of the co-hosts, Kyle, and with me I have, of course, as always, Brady.
Hello.
And today we will be talking about A Blade in the Dark from 1983. Mm-hmm. I'll go over a really quick plot for you. Bruno, a composer, is hired to live in a rented out villa while composing music for a horror film. While trying to produce the music, strange things begin to happen and Bruno suspects murder. After digging around and finding some clues, his suspicions come to a head in the final act where he learns the truth and confronts the killer. And that's pretty much it. That's
pretty much it. Yeah. Short and sweet.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say initially, this movie like felt really slow. Like, I understand that it was made originally. The director set out to make it as like a, I believe, like a miniseries, and he wanted each episode to end with like a kill. And then when he showed it to the censors, they were like, "Yeah, no, that you're not gonna, we're not gonna put this on TV. So you should just make it like a feature film." And then he went back and re-edited it and made it a feature film. So like, looking at it through that lens, I was like, yeah, I guess this kind of makes sense why it's like this and so long and drawn out, but it felt very oddly paced and slow. I don't know how you felt about it.
Right. So, I mean, when we look into movies that I've never seen, I kind of don't ever look, I don't even look at the cast on IMDb because I don't want anything spoiled for me. So I usually watch the movie, then do a little bit of research after, and I saw that too. And afterwards I said, that makes a ton of sense. And looking at it through that lens, you get it. But at the same time, it didn't work as a movie for me.
No,
very slow, bunch of long parts of the movie with nothing happening. And then, like you said, it ends like it was supposed to be four parts, four part miniseries, half hour each. So like every half hour you get a kill pretty much. And it's, you know, it's not a good payoff, no. Unfortunately. I was going to let you ask the, you know, old question, but I'll steal your question this time, and I'll ask you, how long until you knew who the killer was?
Very end. This one actually kept me. I was convinced that it was Julia throughout most of the movie, and then at the end when they revealed it to, I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but when they revealed who the killer was, I was like,
fucking spoil it, bro. If people are listening to this, like, I don't know why I've had people say like, oh, you guys talked about this movie, I listened, and now I want to watch it. Like, please just fucking watch the movie and then listen. Like, it makes it so much better. So that's your only warning ever that I'm ever going to give. These are full of spoilers every time. Just
talk. So when Tony gets revealed as the killer, I was like, what the fuck? But like, it makes sense because it's like, yeah, introduce him at the beginning of the movie, you don't really see him the rest of the movie, and then he pops in. So like it kind of like hits the same beats as every giallo, but I thought it was a good reveal, and I thought it was Julia for sure. Mm-hmm. But I also thought that Julia may have been like trans, because the way that the killer moved, like you see the hands, like it gave me very much like Norman Bates vibes, like when he's dressed up as Norma. And so I was like, it's going to be like a male killer, but maybe they're trans or whatnot. And then when Julia gets killed, I was like, I have no idea who it is. And then Tony pops up and I was like, oh, of course it's him, because it's like the only other person left in this fucking movie. So
yeah.
What about you?
So, I'm going to be completely honest. I kind of knew from the very beginning.
Oh, did you?
Well, so I felt like they tried too hard. Well, you said Julia. I feel like they tried hard to kind of cast her, a suspicion on her. Like, if you notice all the scenes where the killers, you see the hands, they always have like the red nails. And then at one part, they showed Julia like doing her nails in red. And I said, they're doing that on purpose. They have to.
Yeah.
And as you know, I watch these movies, and unfortunately I forced my girlfriend Sam to watch them by proxy, just because she's sitting in the room and she's got no other fucking choice but to, she'd be on her phone, but she's watching too,
unfortunately. Yeah, she likes it. We all know.
I don't think she really does, I'm down to it yet. But it's good, because when I'm writing the review after, or like writing stuff up, I'm like, oh, how did this happen? And she'll be like, it happened like this, were you not paying attention? I'm like, listen, bitch, I'm trying to overanalyze everything, okay? But no. So I said out loud to her, as soon as it was a girl, and and I feel like they tried too hard to like put in girl grunts. I said, it's not a girl, it's a guy. I'm telling you that now. I feel like in these movies, they would never give you that much of a clue as to who it would be. So I said, it's going to be a guy. And then as soon as Tony, when he visits Bruno the one last time, he's like, oh, I'm going off to wherever. He says he's going to another city somewhere. I was like, it's him. It's got to be him. Like, why would they? I said, it's going to be the landlord guy. I didn't remember his name while watching. I said, it's going to be the landlord guy. And he's dressed as a woman. I know it. I didn't know that was going to be him in that movie that we see in the beginning that also comes back later, but I just figured it would be him.
That's a good twist. Also, I think we have to talk about the dubbing in this. Like, it's some of the worst dubbing we've gone over so far. Like, just the scene that sticks out to me is like in the movie that they're filming, they literally go like, female, you're a female. I was like, yeah. What is going on? And I was reading, somebody also made a quote that was like, a critic said that this is probably the worst dubbing that's ever happened in a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. When I watched it, I thought to myself, like, I don't know if it's just like, it is the worst, or if I'm just watching and really noticing it this time. Cause usually, like, you get accustomed to it. But this is like almost like Asian cinema from like the 70s kind of vibes, like how bad, like, nothing lines up.
Yeah.
Though some of the things that they say are just so awkward, and I just rewatched Suspiria in 4K. So like coming off that, which is a beautiful, beautiful movie, to this, I'm like, oh, this fucking hurts.
Yeah, it was really fucking bad this time. And like, usually, like you said, you can kind of just like understand the movie you're watching and overlook it, but it was just like, it was really bad. But, I mean, what'd you think of the kills in it?
So, the kills, when they actually happen, okay, well, the first kill, Katya. Mm-hmm. Hers, I kind of didn't like. Like, I don't mind the chase. Even some of, like, the gore, like, or the way they do the effects. Like, I know it's from the fucking early 80s, and it's a little cheesy because it's an Italian movie. But I don't mind that so much, but when she's chased downstairs into that, like the downstairs of that pool house, and she hides behind, I guess that's how they make walls in Italy. It's like chicken wire, and they shove some insulation up on, and then I don't know what the fuck, it looks like they just put on like paper mache on the outside. I don't know, but I'm thinking like, she just snuck in from like a foot over, like that's how she got behind it. Why can't he just reach around? He's trying to like shove the little blade through the chicken wire holes, and that would be flexible. He could easily just like push into it. Instead, like, the chicken wire is just stopping him from sticking the blade in, and maybe it's to build up the tension, but I thought that one was kind of a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, I did not like it. I actually have in my notes here that the first kill was wasn't all that great. I think the music, like, you finally get like that giallo-esque music that was really good, but the kill itself was lackluster, and like it didn't do anything for me. Like, okay, she's caught in the wiring, and then the killer sticking the blade in between, like, it wasn't suspenseful. You're like, all right, well, she's stuck, like, she's gonna get killed. Like, they could have been a little more creative.
Yeah, but the second one, Angela, because
that one was fucked up.
I think I'm gonna go ahead and say, I don't know if we want to save this for later, but that's probably my favorite kill of the movie. The way she gets like stabbed in the hand, and you slowly see as she's like struggling, her hand like rips through, like the blade rips through the rest of her hand, and her head's covered with a bag, and he continually hits her head on the counter, and then holds her when she's like pretty much dead. He holds her over the tub and slices her throat, and all the blood just spills.
Yep.
I said, you know what? Like, this almost makes up for the first one.
Yeah. No, I agree. I thought that the second one was really, really good, and I loved the knife through the hand. And I think that the effects in it and the makeup looked more realistic than anything else in this movie did.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like over the top. It wasn't like this bright red blood. It was just kind of like gritty and dark. And it wasn't necessarily oozing blood. It was like coagulating already. And I liked that a lot. And I like how she pulls her hands like out of the knife slowly. I also love the bag over the head, because it was very reminiscent of Claire from Black Christmas. And then if you watch the Black Christmas 2006 remake, that's like how the killer gets everybody, which was with the bag over their head. Just super gory, super bloody, super gross. Loved it.
I also really enjoyed how like the bag had continuity, because the front of it, all the blood spewing out of her mouth, and then in the back, it's all soapy from her hair not being rinsed out completely. I did appreciate that.
This guy knows what he's doing. Good job.
And I did like how the knife through the hand into the counter like had a payoff too. Like there was that added element of storyline that comes back later. I did appreciate that. And then the rest of them were kind of just, they were what they were. Nothing too great. Sandra was kind of funny.
I didn't understand how she would have been killed with the roll of film, because like, wouldn't it have snapped?
Okay. There's a lot of shit like that. Like Giovanni, when he's carrying that really heavy trash bag up the stairs that he can barely lift by himself. If it was really that heavy and he went to go pull the top of a trash bag, that shit would just rip. And they never explained what's in that trash bag. So I don't understand. Like, that was supposed to, I guess you're supposed to think it's a body, and he's they never tell you what's actually in it.
And I will say, though, that I did really appreciate like when you finally figure out where the bodies were, because in that scene where Giovanni is like fixing that tank, I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, I thought he was going to get killed in that moment, like somebody was going to come up behind him. But then when the hand drops down, I was like, oh, that's actually pretty good. Like, I didn't like his death, though. If you want to, I guess he died. I think he gets hit in the head a couple times, but then he pops up from the floorboards and then just kind of like sinks back down. So I guess he's dead, but I don't know.
Back to Sandra for a second. I agree with the film role. The only thing I liked about that whole film thing was that he like is choking her, but then he just starts like dragging her around. That I thought was hysterical. I'm like, damn, like I don't know, choking her is enough. He's just like dragging her around and kind of like laughing about it. Or she, whoever you want to, I mean, I
guess that was good. And I didn't mind the whole sequence with Julia. I thought like it was very suspenseful, especially with like the time crunch with Bruno trying to race back and save her. And then I thought it was actually quite terrifying when the killer is running after Julia with the knife. And then I wasn't expecting her to get stabbed like that. And then she did. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, she's dead.
I expected her to get stabbed, but not like that.
I was like, holy fuck. And then that scene, though, when Bruno comes in and the killer just starts like running crazily over and he's like, nope, and like picks up the brick. I was like, holy fuck, man. Like, that part was probably the most unsettling of this whole movie. It was like that sequence with Julia and then the killer running after Bruno, because it's so chaotic and like also over the top. I don't know.
But Bruno's kind of like, thank whatever police station put these pile of bricks next to me.
Thank God that all this stuff is laying around here.
But when he smacks him in the head and like he just falls over, I was like, God damn. I think he should have just stomped him to finish it off. But you know,
yeah, I fucking knew like when he goes over to check on Julia and he comes back and you just see the hair, I was like, all right, it's a wig. Because like when the killer's running towards him, you can kind of tell who it is. And that's when I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then he's like looking at the hair and I was like, come on, dude, it's a wig. Like, let's do it. So overall, pretty lackluster kills in this. I think it's a decent reveal. I think that they sped up the ending too fast where they explained why Tony did it. It was just like, and I don't know if that's because of dubbing, but also it's only like a 5-minute sequence where they're he's talking with some like film director or film editor, and he's like, I still don't understand why he did it. And Bruno's like, what do you mean you don't understand? It's because he was telling us that he wasn't a girl, that he wasn't a female, and that it was that he had to kill all these other girls because he couldn't kill his alter ego. And I was like, all right, cool. Thanks. Like, I guess that's how we're going to end the movie.
That's how a lot of giallos are. They try to like over explain really trivial things by like going, I guess what at the time would have been deep into the psyche. I don't know. Like,
I just think, I mean, it could have been better if they just like, it's fine that you have this flashback at the end of the movie where it shows that Tony was actually playing a girl in the movie, because I can put two and two together. I could say, okay, like he couldn't separate himself from this. He was a child actor who suffered trauma because of this and somehow it stuck with him and he started killing girls. Like, I can put that in my head without you guys having to explain it to me. because then it just feels cheap. It feels like, all right, in the last 5 minutes, we're going to show everybody that, like, here's how it all connects.
I agree.
But what do you want? What do you think about the cast here? I think, first of all, Bruno, who is played by, oh my God, I had it here. Is it Andre Occhiapinti?
Occhiapinti. That's how you said it last time. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
You said, you gotta say like an, yeah, you gotta say like an Italian, Occhiapinti. And then you said, sorry, that was racist. You don't remember that?
I blocked that out. He looks like Eric Foreman in this movie. Like, every time I saw him, I was like, that's fucking Eric Foreman from That 70s Show.
Well, he looks exactly the same as he did in the New York Ripper.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's just a different, like, he's just the complete opposite role. He was the killer. Now he's the guy that's not the killer. He's the main protagonist in this. And
his storyline was okay. Because I had seen, we talked about it on Vincent Horror last week, Blowout, the Brian De Palma film. Like, I got big Blowout vibes from this, even though I think this one came first, maybe. And because in Blowout, you know, John Travolta is like the sound engineer who's recording for a movie and then accidentally hears an assassination. And then the movie goes from there. And this one's the same thing. Like, he's recording for a film, a horror film, trying to get the music down, and then picks up on people getting killed or all these weird things happening. So I thought that was cool. I liked the plot, his part in the plot. I like his character, how that fit into the setting, because I think that set it up for what could have been a really good movie.
Yeah. Blowout came out in 1981, so that came out first. Blowout
was first.
Which wouldn't surprise me that the Italians came and ripped it off right away.
Right.
Because that's kind of their MO for this time period.
Yeah. So he was fine, I guess, as Bruno. And then you have, who do you want to talk about first? Katia Valeria Cavalli. Is that better?
Yeah, sure. So I know she did like a bunch of TV and Italian TV and film. Mm. Did you see that she was in that movie Double Team with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
I did.
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
And fucking Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. 1997. I was like, yeah, that tracks.
I feel like, so I mean, when it comes to Italian movies, so like, everyone's so overdone and cheesy, but I still don't understand why they never explained why her diary was at the house and why she was hiding in a closet to go get it and why she didn't just take it with her when she was in the closet.
Also, I want to talk about the closet scene for a second, because there was no way that was a cockroach. That was a fucking tarantula. Like, yes. when she's like, oh my God, there's a spider, and Bruno's like, that's not a spider, that's just a cockroach, and it's like a fucking 8-foot tarantula crawling away. I was like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah, that I did, and I don't know if that was a dubbing thing, but that was really funny. I also loved how when he finally looked in her diary later, it literally is like the diary of Katya, like right in the front, like
oh,
nobody writes that in their own fucking diary.
Oh yeah, I did as a kid. My mom was like, I think when I was like 8 or 9, she was like, I need you to start like writing a journal, because I think that it'll be good for you to get your thoughts out, like with all like the stuff you're going through in your childhood. And then I found out that she only made me write one because she wanted to read what I was thinking. So
who would have thought
that my mom was a bitch. Not me. Anyways, catch ya fine. Again, we went over her kill. It's not that great. I wasn't really attached to her as a character in any way. I don't know why she was just like throwing herself at Bruno like that.
To me, it almost seemed like she was doing it to kind of like, because obviously he just caught her like breaking and entering.
Yeah.
So she's probably like, I'm going to distract his ass by being very sexual.
It was not very sexual. It was like Elaine in Seinfeld dancing. It was really bad. Yeah. And then you have Julia, played by Lara Lamberti.
Yep.
And she played in some things like Red Sonja, Enigma, Mystica. Yep. I mean, a bunch of TV stuff too. I'm finding that a lot of the people in this movie come from Italian TV, not necessarily movies.
Yeah, and they didn't necessarily do a lot.
Yeah.
But this was her first role.
Yep.
And I thought she did a great job.
Yeah, I thought she was fine. Character, is definitely set up as the red herring, like the main red herring. I think it's her, like Giovanni at first, probably, but then Julia, because she keeps popping up, and they never explain like why she left the theater production suddenly. Like when Bruno calls the theater director, and he's like, "Yeah, I never want to see her ass again. She just left us high and dry on opening night." You're still like, they're still completely trying to sell you on this whole, like, she's the killer, but they never tell you like why she left and
where she's been,
where she went and why she lied about the type of production she was in, because she said it was like some sort of like racy, edgy production about like two lesbians. And Bruno's like, nobody wants to know about that. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I do.
And yeah, me too.
Then when he calls the theater director, he's like, no, this is a, like a production made for school kids.
Yeah.
So you're like, all right, why'd she lie? So it's all just like weird fluff and plot points that are just there to throw you off, which really fucking irks me, but that's giallo for you.
I love how bitchy she is.
Yeah. I like how like passive aggressive she is and just snarky about like, or like when she's like, Bruno, I have a surprise for you. And he like walks in and she jumps out of the closet and she's like, cause you like girls in closets. I was like, damn. Yeah. I was like, this is exactly what Paige would do.
And now she's like, what the fuck did she say? She says something like, you know, no big deal, but I was wondering why the fuck were you in the basement with that girl?
Yeah. He's like,
with Sandra.
And he's like, well, why did you have a knife? She's like, no. Why were you in the basement with Sandra? What were you doing down there?
But they knew Sandra already, right? Like,
yeah, because Sandra was the director of the movie Bruno was working on. So Julia, it seemed at least like they all knew each other.
Yeah. I mean, Sandra like, specifically hired Bruno because. But he's a composer, I think, and she knew him. Like, that's how that. I was a little confused on that.
I mean, it all made sense, I guess. So I didn't mind it too much. Like, it wasn't like one of those things that I was like grasping at straws to figure out, like, how they all knew each other, why she was. I mean, she definitely wasn't comfortable with Sandra, but she was more comfortable with her than she was with Bruno talking about finding this weird, like, catchy person. And then you got. I guess we can go talk about Sandra. I think it's Ani Papa.
Yep.
Known for A Blade in the Dark, Sweets from a Stranger, Night Full of Rain. She also, I had it right here, The Great Alligator, which is something that I wouldn't mind seeing. So I guess in terms of people who have more movie credits than TV credits, she seems to be up there with. Guy who played Bruno.
I thought that she did her part. I feel like at a certain point, like you almost feel like she's in cahoots with the killer, whoever the killer may be.
Yep.
Because she obviously knew the killer, but how did she not know that Laura, was that the killer's name? Laura or I mean whoever Tony's alter ego was. I think it was Laura, wasn't it? Begin with an L.
I don't think it was Laura. Tells you how much I paid attention to this movie.
Linda. Sorry, it's Linda.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but how did she not know that, like, Linda was a guy? If she knew Linda.
I think she did. I think that's, like, when you get the phone call where she calls Linda. And it's like, hey, like, I didn't tell, like, your secret. Like, I only, like, took the general information about, like, the trauma you experienced and then, like, made my own tale from it. So that, to me, was her saying, like, knowing exactly who it was and was trying to be like, hey, like, please don't do this. Like, I didn't, like, expose you or out you in any way. Like, I'm making my movie. That's what I got out of it. So I figured... Yeah. She knew the entire time. She just didn't want to say anything because she didn't want her movie to be compromised or people to think that she was a hack or anything like that. And
that makes more sense. But once people start dying, it's kind of, or suspected of dying, it's kind of like, yeah, better fucking out that person right away.
Well, then she's even like the one who goes to like Bruno and is like, how come you haven't called the police yet? And I was like, yeah, finally, someone's asking him why he hasn't fucking called the police.
I wondered that too. As soon as he saw blood, I was like, call the fucking police.
And he's like, there's no body. I was like, that doesn't fucking matter. Like, what are you talking about? If but I started also, like seeing blood everywhere and like a knife mark in my kitchen or bathroom. Yeah,
but then again, it's also like, he's the only person that has any blood on him. He's the only person that's been cleaning up blood. And like, if he calls the police, they'll be like, what? like, why is this blood only on you and where the fuck is the body, you know?
Clearly, especially you haven't seen enough giallo movies with cops in it, because that is not what they would do.
I don't know, man. I've heard the whole story of
they'd shoot him right on scene.
What the fuck is that girl's name that got in trouble with the Italian police because her roommate got fucking killed?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you're right then.
Yeah, they just kind of zoom in on people, and they're like, nah, you did it, asshole. We're going to prove it's you.
Great. All right, so then we got Giovanni. I guess he's like the gardener, the groundskeeper, played by Stanko Molnar.
That's an awful name to have as a kid.
Stanko. Yeah. Can you imagine that just on the playground? Like, I think it was bad because I was Brady, and I got Brady Bunch or, like, Brandy. But people just like, ooh, it's Stanko. Be great. Yeah. Anyways, he's got a couple credits. He was played in the TV miniseries Treasure Island in Outer Space. He played Joyce the Humanoid. Played in Lady of the Night, The Sicilian, The Terrible Lovers, Blade in the Dark in 1983. The House of Raoul, a bunch of other TV movies and miniseries. So he's got some credits.
He was in Macabre, which was Lamberto Bava's first solo directed movie. Mm. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, I thought he was fine. Like, I guess the thing with him was, like, the way he talks or the way it was dubbed did not fit what I thought somebody like him looked like would talk like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I feel like his personality changed.
Yeah, like at the beginning of the movie, he's just like this creeper who's like watching people get undressed, or
which I appreciate.
Right, I know. I've
as you can see by the mustache,
I was like, yeah, this would be Kyle. and then, I mean, he seems then like halfway through the movie, you get this like idea that he's actually like a decent person, and then it's like you think he knows something because he's like, oh yeah, your lady friend's been like coming out to the cottage every morning. And then when Bruno's like, what do you mean? He's like, oh man, I'm just the groundskeeper. I'm just supposed to keep an eye on the grounds. That's it. And he's like, I would have been like, well, apparently you're keeping an eye on something else. So yeah. why don't we talk about this?
So I think he's like a pervert, but he also takes his job seriously, like to where, so he obviously he's working every day and he's actually taking care of shit. He's not just slacking and being a pervert, but he's also like, well, there are some women around and I am going to watch.
So he's a hardworking pervert.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, his kill was awful.
If you want to call it a kill. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like he was so overly played as like that red herring that I'm like, it's never going to be him. So we could stop trying to make it seem like it's gonna be him now.
Yeah, I definitely like in the first couple scenes of the movie, like I was like, okay, like it could be him, because like in the plot too, it talks about how like he has a weird neighbor, so I was like, oh well, maybe that's like supposed to be Giovanni too. And then what was the movie, Naked Girl Murdered in the Park? I was like thinking about that groundskeeper, and I was like, well, that groundskeeper like was kind of murderous, but only because
somebody was framed. His girl.
Yeah. So I was like, well, maybe there's something here, but it just like, then Julia came in and I was like, all right, they're not going to try to like hit it over the head with these both of them. And then Julia kind of took the limelight for me.
Yeah. I did appreciate how he had all that porn on the wall, like the magazine cutouts that he just stuck up on the wall. I said, yeah, that seems like very middle-aged.
Yeah, yeah. Ground
solo.
Yeah. I was going to also say, like, I thought it was funny when Sandra and Bruno go into the basement and they're like looking at the storage unit where I guess Linda had been there before and kept all her stuff, and he like opens the box and it looked like a bunch of porn magazines, and Bruno's just like, oh, they like to read a lot. It's like, all right, buddy. All right, so then really the last person of note we have is Tony, played by Michel Soavi. And this person played in The Brothers Grimm.
I would say he has the biggest catalog, and especially one that pertains to what we do here on this show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got The Valley. He's in Dario Argento's World of Horror documentary, Stage Fright, The Church, The Sect. He's in a bunch of TV Italian movies. He's in a bunch of TV series, The Anti-Drug Squad. He's got The Legend of the Christmas Witch. He also has a couple director credits, too. I mean, it's just... Actually, I think those are his director credits. My bad.
Yeah, dude.
So he directed Stage Fright. Yeah.
I was going to say he's in City of the Living Dead, Absurd, The New York Ripper. I didn't even realize that. Well, he's also just the guy who buys a newspaper real quick. New York Ripper.
He's the man in black and Demons.
As soon as I saw him, I said, that's the guy from fucking Demons.
Yep. Yep.
Tenebrae. He was in that.
The Black Cat.
Phenomena. He was in Stage Fright as well. Mm-hmm. Opera. This guy literally has been all around us and we didn't even realize it.
Yep. It's crazy. But then like when you go back and look at him, you're like, oh yeah, he is very familiar. But yeah, especially that fucking like with the mask and Demons. I was like, oh yeah, that's fucking him. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
Yeah. And he was cast by Lamberto Valva because he was having a hard time finding a man who would be convincingly disguised as a woman. And then I guess he used to be an assistant to Lamberto and he kind of looked at him. He's like, mm-hmm. You kind of look like you'd be a girl if you wore skirts and stuff.
Oh my God. I just imagine the director's like, hey, can you put this on for a second? Can you do a little twirl? Yeah, you're hired.
And so he was supposed to be the landlord, correct?
Yeah.
And was he a friend of Bruno? Because I never understood. Like, so I don't know, because like they just like do things quick, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm dumb, but I'm like, I think they're friends, but also he's the landlord here. Or did he meet him when he got the house?
I just kind of assumed, and I probably make too many assumptions in these movies, but I assumed that like this guy was known in the movie industry as to be like the guy who you went to be like, hey, like, help me set up this guy with renting a location. Help me set up this person with renting a location. So yeah. Probably just known. So it's one of those things that I was fine with no backstory on him.
Yeah. That was like, he's kind of like that lady who got murdered in California. She used to like rent out like an exclusive cabin or like, I guess it was a cabin to like people who needed like isolation, kind of like this, where they needed to be isolated for a project. Yeah. And that guy, I think he was from Sons of Anarchy. I think that's what he was in. Wound up like killing her and then killed himself by jumping off the roof or something.
Oh yeah. It wasn't
John something maybe.
Yeah. You're right. Oh well.
But that's what it reminded me of. Just that kind of like situation where like they owned a property that like people in the movie business or like or any kind of like I don't know Hollywood type business is like, hey, I need a little bit of isolation to like. Get this project done. Can I rent out this place? But yeah, he didn't have much in terms of like story building or character building in this, besides the fact that he's the girl boy in the beginning, which I didn't, when they first show that clip in the beginning, I never thought that was, oh wait. So that was like a reenactment in the beginning. Is that what that was supposed to be?
No, they changed the ending. Remember? So at the beginning of the movie, it opens with the three boys.
So one, it was all three were boys.
Yeah. And then at the end, when Bruno and the film editor go in to look at the thing that had been cut up, Bruno's like, I've seen this before. And the editor's like, no, this was something that she just shot. And then you see that it's the same scene, but they changed it for the ending. So it's supposed to show that it was actually a boy in girl's clothing, which I was like, because Bruno's like, apparently Linda knew that there would be something in this ending that would help us. Gotcha. And then you find out. So, which again, still for me was like, I don't understand.
Yeah. And if all these people were learning all these things, leaving clues, like the whispering in the recordings of like on the reels where the music was recorded, like why would somebody wouldn't just outright say something? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
It never makes any sense to me.
I don't know. But then again,
I guess we would have a movie.
And then the only other person really to talk about is Lamberto Bava, who was the director. He was known as an assistant to Dario Argento before branching out on his own. So actually, he was helping out on Tenebrae, I think. And that's when he got offered to direct A Blade in the Dark. The film was written by the husband and wife writing team, Dardano Sacchetti and Eliza Briganti. Bava and Sacchetti recalled that they didn't really work together well, but they did work together on The Twitch of the Death Nerve in 1971, and from what I read, they were fine on that one, so something must have changed here. Mm-hmm. And then they used producer Luciano Martino's villa as the location for the filming. There's really not a lot of information on like behind the scenes or production on this. which I mean, is fine.
Lamberto, if everyone knows the name Bava, that's because he is actually a third generation Italian filmmaker. His dad was Mario Bava, who was another big director of Italian films. I think Mario's dad used to like work on effects and other things in the movie business, but wasn't necessarily a director. And then, like you said, he did study under Dario Argento, but him and his dad worked on Shock together, and his dad would pretend to be sick so Lamberto could get some directing under his belt, since he was the assistant. And that was in 1977, which he also... that Shock movie, by the way, sorry, I just had a brain fart, but Shock from 1977 just had, or it, I think it just got a new Blu-ray release from Aereo Video, so that's pretty relevant. It's always funny how those kind of things sync up with us. But he also helped, or he did Demons 1 and 2, right? Lamberto, yep. He did Demons 1 and 2. You'll Die at Midnight, which we definitely mentioned, I think, in the last episode.
Yeah, we did.
Bloodstained. It's because it's under another title as well. The Midnight Killer, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then Delirium. And I don't know if you saw, but he admitted that he liked the American title of A Blade in the Dark better for this movie, better than the translation of the Italian title, which translated to House of Dark Stairs. He's like, fuck, wish I thought of Blade in the Dark. That sounds so much better.
House of Dark Stairs.
Yeah. Which, I mean, there are a lot of stairs in this movie, so...
there are, but they, I mean, they're dark too. You know?
Yeah, pretty dark.
Pretty dark. They're not all natural lighting in that villa. Yeah, that's really it for character wise and production wise.
Whoa, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're skipping past one of the best characters in the movie, Angela, played by Fabiola Toledo. That she's literally the only other one we didn't talk about, who's also in
the best kill. Yeah.
Not even the best kill. The only tits we see in the movie. Come on, Brady. That's how true. Could you just go right past that? We had to talk about the boobs. Or
it
at least
it was disrespectful. I didn't like that Giovanni was invading her privacy.
Okay, yes. But I also like that she was also helping us out by putting those on camera for us.
Yeah, that was good. I did like the swimming scene. Thought that was tasteful.
What I didn't like about... Well, there was a couple shots where like... they're directly behind her, yeah. And she like swims her legs out so she can like swim, and you just get a total crotch shot. And I'm like,
yeah,
huh? Well,
I wonder how many times they reshot this.
Yeah. But I didn't understand when she found the blade at the bottom of the pool, like that does nothing for the plot. And like, she took it with her, and I thought like the killer was going to grab it out of her bag when she puts it in her bag later, but yeah. They just never touch it again. And I'm like, I don't like, why have the blade in the pool?
Again, there's so many things in this movie that it's like, why are you doing this? Like, is this going to pay off? And then it never does.
Yeah.
So,
and this is one of those movies, man, where I enjoy it more talking to you about it than I do actually like watching it. Because mm-hmm. going over, like, I don't know, sometimes when you watch movies and they have such slow parts, it's like, it's awful. It's, you wish you were doing anything else, but you have to do it because we have to talk about it. But then when me and you talk about it, it's so much more enjoyable, and I almost want to skew my numbers, but I can't.
No. This one has already got a hard rating for me, but when I like think of a giallo movie too, like I need really good music, and I don't know if it's just because, like we already talked about, the pacing, or that this was originally meant to have a kill at the end of each episode for a mini series, but like the music just wasn't there. Like it popped up at the ends, and it popped up a little bit here and there, but I just, it wasn't on point for me, and it didn't help the movie in any way.
Yeah. The thing I did like about the music that was actually in this movie was that it's the music he's writing for the horror movie that
was pretty cool.
Needs composing for, and then it bled into this movie.
Yeah,
I did enjoy that, and a lot of it has to do with like when he walks away, it's either still playing or the killer turns it back on to start destroying it, I guess. But like, I did like that aspect. I just wish they did more with it, because that was kind of cool. Like, he's composing for a horror movie, but then that music winds up being the soundtrack to his real life situation where murders are happening around him. I wish they did more with that.
Yeah, I agree, but here we are.
Yeah, I guess
Anything else you want to talk about with the movie before we get into our rating? Or
no, absolutely not. There's not much to talk about. We talked about literally the boobs, and that's all I cared about. So,
all right, lay it on me. What's your rating?
My rating is a 2 out of 5. And I think that's being a little generous. I wanted to go a little bit higher because I was like, maybe I'm being unfair with this. Maybe I was just tired, and that's why it was so hard to get through. But I mean, I was tired, but I think if it was a more engaging movie, it would be a lot easier. Because the kill sequences or anything where something actually happened, I enjoyed. But when he's just walking around looking at shit around the house in silence, I didn't enjoy it. And that's a lot of the movie, unfortunately.
Yep.
So 2 out of 5.
For me, it's going to be a 1 out of 5.
Damn.
I really did not like this movie, and it was like a slog to get through. And considering that only really one of the kills was great, and not even great, it was a good kill in a mediocre movie. So yeah, of course it's going to be highlighted. But that like 3 to 5 minute scene doesn't fix the rest of the movie for me. And like, when I think we go over this every time we have these episodes, but like, my rating is heavily influenced by would I rewatch this again, and I would never rewatch this again. There's no need to. I don't think there was anything. It's almost 2 hours long. It's way too long. Like, they need to cut that down by at least half an hour. And yeah, they could have, with all the scenes of him just walking through the house looking at stuff, or yeah, sitting at his fucking computer, not computer, but his table, trying to make music. Like, you don't need all those scenes of that. We know what he's there for.
Yeah, I initially thought that too, and I was going to write that down, but then after I read that it was the episodic miniseries that it was supposed to be, I totally forgot to mention that, but it is way too long, and it could have been trimmed.
Yeah, and I don't want to say it was laziness, but that's kind of what it comes off to me. It's like, they were like, yeah, you're not going to be able to make this a TV show, so just make it a movie. And he's like, all right, cool, I'll just put it all together and make it a movie. Like, it doesn't work out. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, 1 out of 5 for me. I don't think this... Like, if somebody's like, oh, I want to watch a giallo movie, this is not on the list. Like,
yeah,
doesn't do anything.
It blows my mind, because when you look up giallo movies, I feel like this is one of the more well-known or more highly recommended ones. And I don't understand why.
Yeah, couldn't tell you why.
Because I've seen this title everywhere. And that's why I finally was like, you know what? We should just do it. Because I was trying not to go downhill from New York Ripper, and unfortunately it really fucking did.
It's hit or miss though, you know?
Yeah, and this movie has a 6 out of 10 on IMDb. The tomato meter, there is no critic review for it. It has nothing on the tomato meter. Literally zero. It says coming soon, which it ain't coming. If it ain't here now, it ain't coming.
Yeah, it's not going to be there.
Yeah, it has a 38% audience score, and then a 2.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd, which... I agree with the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes more than anything here, honestly. Because 6 out of 10 and 2.9 out of 5, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody can rank this movie over a 50%. But
yeah,
that's just me. They probably don't have a podcast, you know?
Yeah.
Or a cool mustache like you.
Oh, thanks, man. It's not going to stay long, I don't think, but it will make a return.
When we first became friends, you had a mustache.
Did I?
Yeah. Because I had one too, and you were like, oh, the stash looks good. And then one of the first Snapchats you sent me, you were in the shower, and I was like, oh, okay, this is our friendship now.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that might have been like a fake haha mustache. That wasn't like a full grown mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to piss off Sam, because she loves, well, actually, she hates my mustache. I'm going to be completely honest. But yes. And everyone around us keeps telling us, well, me mostly, like, yeah, you should keep it. And she just keeps getting more progressively like angry about it. So
I think it looks great. I mean, I felt the same way. I did it once to like just like gross Paige out. And then I came out of the bathroom and she was like, that actually looks really good. You should keep that. Yeah. And then I thought that she was like fucking with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, but every time I do it, she's like, yeah, you got to keep it.
Yeah. Yeah. When we were in New Jersey, I said, like, oh, you let him fucking keep that thing? She's like, I like it. And I was like, oh, that, okay. Never mind, I guess. But, but
you're like, oh, yeah, me too. Know. Me too.
But I think it's going to go, because this upcoming weekend, me and Mark got somewhere to go, maybe. And I might have to get rid of it for a couple pictures.
Well, it looks classy. You know?
Thanks, man. It's going to make a return, and I'll explain why in due time. But for now, it's a big secret as to why I have it.
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, looking forward. Oh, so it's my pick, right?
Yes, it's your pick now. So let's.
All right.
At this point.
So for the next one, I'm throwing it back to 1971. We're actually going with a Mario Bava film. We're going to do A Bay of Blood. also called Twitch of the Death Nerve, and occasionally Bloodbath. Mm-hmm. So I had heard about this one because I read Stephen Graham Jones's wow, I just blanked. I had the My Heart is a Chainsaw, Jesus Christ, that came out last year, and it's like a book that follows a girl who's like obsessed with slashers and believes that a slasher has come to her little town, and she constantly refers to a Bay of Blood. And so I was like, you know what, let's fucking do it. And then looking up like the plot, I was like, okay, like this can be good. Like, it heavily influenced Sean S. Cunningham's Friday the 13th, which is a personal favorite of mine. So I'm really hopeful for this one. I hope this doesn't let us down. I hope this gets us back on, like, I feel like every other movie we get is like bad. It's like good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. So
yeah, I take the blame for both of the bad ones we've done.
Ah, I mean, I'm sure.
We'll, oh no, wait, I chose this, right?
Yeah, you chose this last one.
Did you choose New York Ripper?
Yes.
And then I chose the awful one before that too. Okay, yeah it's always me.
Yeah, you chose Naked Girl in the Park.
Damn,
sorry. And then I chose New York Ripper because you had talked about it before. And then gotcha. You chose this one.
Yeah, well, I've heard a lot about Bay of Blood. I've heard many people talk about it, but I don't know anything about it. And to me, the sound of the name never sounded like a giallo to me. So when I started looking into giallo-esque stuff, and I realized Bay of Blood was on there, I said, okay, duly noted. Still have never seen it or looked into it deep, but I'm excited for that one.
Sweet. Well, cool.
Yeah. And before we leave, I'll just say, give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We greatly appreciate that. I'm willing to send out stickers to anybody who does. I don't care what you write. I always say that, and nobody ever fucking does, unfortunately. I have the stickers. I want to send them out. They're free. Come on, guys. Come on. Follow us on Instagram at Vintage Horror Podcast. You can always email us at vintagehorrorpod@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @VintageHorror_. We are never posting anything, but trust us, we're there and we will respond. We do get notifications if you want to tweet to us.
We're lurking. And
you can always visit us at anchor.fm/VintageHorrorPodcast. That's where you can find like all of it's our RSS feed. You can leave us a voice message there. You just click the little message thing. You can find any of our podcast platforms that we go to from there. And yeah, that's sweet. Pretty much it for us.
Tell us how much you love Kyle's mustache that we're talking about. I can describe it real quick. So it's like a light brown. It's
definitely hairy.
It's kind of like a family of inchworms is on top of his upper lip. It's not like scraggly. It looks pretty good. It's neat. It's like hitting the corners of his mouth just right. The nose is casting a shadow over it. That's actually pretty artsy. So if I had to describe like who else you might see this on, probably a subway maintenance worker, or perhaps you would see it as some guy who's going to like an art house theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Kyle looks like right now.
Especially in this shirt, dude. It just looks like
that's a fucking baller ass shirt.
Thanks, man. So what I've been compared to is a cop or a porn star. That's what people keep asking. What are you going for? Difference? Cop, porn star? And I'm saying both, bro. Why do I have to choose?
Right. What's the difference? It's all exploitation. Anyways. Yeah.
Maybe I'll take a picture and I'll throw it up when we post this.
That can be the image. Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a quick turnaround though. So, you know, that's it for us, this week and, for this time, we'll see you guys next month with the next movie.
Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.